This message has been on my heart for some time. Part of the reason that this message has been bearing on me is that we are literally in a battle for foundational truths that we are called to live on, stand on, and foundational truths that actually design the structure of our society. And many things that God has established that are necessary, if you will, for us to follow are being attacked today. The gospel, salvation by the blood of the Lord Jesus, the conviction of sin, the foundation of the home, the foundation of marriage, the foundations of the church, all of these are being directly challenged, if you will, and trying to be dismissed when they cannot be dismissed. And the reason for that is that God's word has established these truths. So as we read from Joshua, Joshua is leading the, has led the children of Israel into the promised land, and they've been there for some time. Joshua is growing in age. In fact, he even is to the point that he is preparing to die. And because of this, he's trying to give final instruction to the nation of Israel. And I want you to think about this scenario for a moment. The situations that are here is that Joshua is an old man. He is battled. He is battle-worn. But yet, the faithfulness that he has shown has been absolutely paramount in the leading of nation of Israel. They've gone into the promised land. They began conquering lands. In fact, they've conquered enough land that Joshua is actually able to disperse, if you will. Each tribe had their area of the promised land that was designated for them. But yet there was more to do. Now that was part of the difficulty for the nation of Israel, is that there was much more land to be claimed and taken, but yet they got comfortable with what they had and they stopped. Well, unfortunately, that delay in faithfulness led to unfaithfulness eventually. But you couldn't blame that on Joshua. Joshua had led faithfully and had implored the people to do what was necessary. But I want us to notice the challenge that Joshua gives. In Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, I believe you'll probably find that it is very familiar to you. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, as we come before you, we ask for your blessing of your reading of your word, that your spirit will move among our hearts. Lord, may we capture the reality that your word is true, your word is established in all eternity. We do not change it, we do not adjust it, we do not negotiate with it, but your word is always true. And upon that is what we will stand or we will fall by. And so, Lord, may I be able to communicate to your people accurately. Just use me as your mouthpiece today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we see a commitment of a man that has led the nation of Israel faithfully, we get a glimpse of his conviction of how that he led his family. And on that is what we're going to focus on today. We need to be families of faith. Today we are being bombarded, if you will, by mixed messages and attitudes that want to dismantle the family unit. They want to dismantle marriage. They want to dismantle the biblical definition of marriage, the biblical description of who we are as individuals, as God has created us as male and female. All of these things run counterintuitive against God's word. And so where do we stand? That is the question I'm presenting to you as a church today. Where do we stand? We would like to stand up and say we're definitely going to follow God's plan and God's model. But yet, honestly, even within my own family, we have brokenness. We're not the perfect picture of a family. We're not the exact example that we always want to be. And so therefore, do we say that, well, because we have such a mess or we're dealing with such a mess, then, you know, maybe God's plan needs to adjust just a little bit. The reality is that God's plan will never change. And I want us to go to my first point in Romans chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. And I put this in the New Living Translation because I think it really breaks it down. Paul's wording is a real challenge sometimes, and I think this will help us see that. In Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, he says, "True, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. As the scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court." Now, Paul is writing here in chapter 3, giving a defense of God's word. First of all, he's discussing how it is that people are trying to keep the law in order to find salvation. Well, Paul very quickly reminds us that no one can keep the law. We're all condemned by the law. It doesn't matter if you're a heathen, you're religious, or if you're a faithful person or a moral person or whatever it may be, we're all condemned by the law because for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So then because we're broken, do we look at each other and say, well, I've watched my family and they're a mess, so therefore marriage must not work? That is a wrong assumption. We look at the society that we live in today and say everything's a mess, so what is the need for church? That is a wrong assumption. In fact, it's an error of thinking. But unfortunately, we have many young people that are thinking, and because of things that are a mess, they feel like that they should step away from God's plan and God's purpose for their life. Can I impress upon you that is the greatest mistake that you will ever make in your life? And you'll spend the rest of your adult life paying for it. And I'm not exaggerating. That's just a reality. When we step away from God's will and God's purpose, we step away from his blessing. And that's what Joshua was desperately not wanting his people to do. But we see that in Romans, Paul was saying, look, we can look and we know that there are many that are unfaithful, many that will fall away. There will be mistakes made, but let us all remember is that even if we are unfaithful, God will always be faithful. God is always true. God's word will always sustain. God's word will always be right. God's word will always be timely. God's word will be exactly what we will stand accountable and in judgment under. Are you with me? So when we see the struggles of the world around us, we just admit, we've come from a mess. Amen? We've come from a mess. Now, let's look at Joshua chapter 23. We're going to see that they've had some challenges. They've come from a mess. Chapter 23, verse 6, he says, "Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to do to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go in to them, and they to you, know for certain the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord God has given you." Those are strong words, aren't they? But do you realize that they apply to us here today? Don't turn from the Lord's word to the right or to the left. Don't compromise. Don't give in. Even though we've come from a mess. Do you realize that many of these people are adults now? They watched their parents, their grandparents die in the desert, die in the wilderness because they refused to go into the promised land. You remember that generation? They failed. They were bringing with them many of the gods that came out of Egypt. And then as they come into the promised land, this new generation, they're tempted to be joined to all of these gods that are around them. Do you understand that their struggles and their standing for what is right and standing against what is wrong is the same as we are today? It's no different. Choices have to be made. Sacrifices will be made, but choices will be made. Do you understand that? He's calling us to a courageous faith. Be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Now, obviously, he was guiding them to the Mosaic law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but also we have the rest of the scriptures. Amen? We have much more to draw from, much more to live by. But do you notice that in verses 7 through 12, that he encourages them to make a separation from them and the world that they were living in? Did you notice that? Folks, it's more important now than ever that we marry in the faith, that we carry on the faith, that we acknowledge God in the choices that we make. And then verse 13, the warning. He says, if you turn back to these gods and you turn away from me, it's going to be disaster, right? I think we've all been in life long enough to know when God says it, that's what we should do, and that's when we should go. And I'm with you in that, okay? But he says in Joshua 23:11, therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Do you realize that Jesus pointed out that loving God and obedience are synonymous? They're one and the same. Jesus said, if you love me, that's right, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. We're being challenged today. But I want you to think, as we evaluate our lives and we're evaluating our faith, when God is telling us to obey, I can agree that there are voices outside and there are voices that have a platform, a media that want to shame us for standing on God's word. Do you remember Romans chapter 10, verse 11? He says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. When you trust in Jesus, there is no shame. They may fight against you. They may try to confuse you, but there is no shame. So choose for yourselves today. My second point, chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua even used the strong words of, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Why would he say that if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord? Joshua knows our thought process, doesn't he? Well, let's better say, God knows our thought process. For us to reject God's will is to determine that there's a better way. Or maybe even within our selfishness, we think, I can figure this out better. And we rush on to a greater mistake and greater pain. But here's something that not only was Joshua telling them to think about what they were going to do, but he's actually calling them to a place of decision. He wanted a definitive decision on this day. The people were going in. They were settling the land. Joshua was going to die. He knew that there was a need for leadership. He knew that there was a need for direction by the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, as he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Many times we know what ought to be done or we know what direction we should take, but we're caught in a time of indecision. But in reality, we're sowing seed all the time. You understand that? In Galatians, when he used that example, we're sowing seeds of decisions that we make each and every day, all throughout the day. How are you sowing? What are you sowing to? Are you sowing to the spirit? Are you sowing to the flesh? That is what we will reap. Unfortunately, sometimes we think that, well, we can just put God on hold for a moment, and we're going to come back to that later. But the problem is that we're ignoring the reality is that we're still sowing. Amen? And when you put God on hold, you're living in disobedience. You're living a time of indecision leads to faithlessness. And when we have the conviction of the Spirit upon our hearts, then and now is a time to respond. Amen? And that's what Joshua was pushing his people. I know that you see that God has done all that he said that he would do. He rehearses that in chapter 23, everything. And then he rehearses it again in chapter 20, the latter part of chapter 24. He rehearses that everything that God said that he would do, he has done. So now, what are you going to do, child of God? James describes it as a double-minded man. In James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, he says, "And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach." I like that part. And he says, "And I will give it to him." I don't know about you, but I need wisdom. I need it bad. There's a lot of things in life that are just confusing and difficult. There's a lot of things that come from the world that's confusing and difficult. We need God's wisdom. But he gives us warning, but let him ask in faith. Okay, I can do that in faith. But he goes on, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now James is going through that he is preaching that faith is joined with works. Works does not bring faith, but works is a result of faith. Are you with me? And James says, look, if you're a child of God, then we're going to know it by the works. We're going to see it by God working in and through you. We're going to know it by the Spirit guiding you. And so when you come and you ask for wisdom, don't come being divided in your spirit, but come believing. Come in faith. Because when you got one hand in the world and you got one hand in the Christian world, you're being torn in two and you're drugged from side to side. And it's giving a picture of the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. It's giving an example of a drunken man as he staggers from one place to the other and never going where he intended to go, never reaching the destination. So is a double-minded person that is divided in their loyalties. But herein lies the problem. If we try to live a double-minded life, is that Jesus reminds us, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either love the one or you'll hate the other. It's impossible to live in the world, condone the world, sympathize with sin, and still serve Christ. Are you with me? This is the danger of the foundations that we're tearing down right now in our community. Do you realize that there have been studies that they show that much of the problems that we have with violence and crime that's going on is coming out of homes that have no father figure to guide and direct those young people and to direct the home? Now, many would say, well, you don't know the problems that they're going through. I'm sure they're going through problems. We all are. But do you realize that God gives us foundational truths that we are able to develop and build and grow and overcome those things? Even if we come from a mess, as these have? Even though we watched our past generations that weren't the perfect examples, but yet God says, if you'll follow me, not turn to the right or to the left, then I'll give you blessing. I'll give you all the land. I'll go and I'll fight for you. One will chase 1,000. Do you realize that there is victory to be had? The question is, are we going to go and claim that? Amen? Or are we too torn between the two? We don't know who to trust, or we're hesitant to trust. When in reality, the proof is already there. That if we will just faithfully follow and serve the one. Because my friend, you are not going to win friends if you serve Christ. It sets a distinction. It draws a line in the sand. It sets a reality that you are different. And so therefore you are. So therefore live different. Amen? My last point. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What is a decision that you have to make today? What is that point of decision that you need to make? Some of you are making plans for the future. Some of you are already in a home and in a family and struggling with changes and difficulties. Some of you may be reeling from difficulties. So what do we do? Notice that Joshua said, the very last part of verse 15, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua makes a bold statement here, doesn't he? But you notice what he starts with. "But as for me." Do you see that? "But as for me." Joshua knew that he needed to get things right. We need leaders. That's how God designed the home, man to be the spiritual leader. But I hear so often that men are trying to lead and none are following. Can I remind you of the spiritual, spirit-led, servant leadership that God has called every one of us to? You go right to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and 6. Men were to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. We're to be the first to go. We're to be the first to worship. We're the first to confess. We're the first to serve. We're the first to obey. We're the first to lay our lives down, right? So many times in the world, we look at pyramids of leadership within a business. We look at pyramids of power within government. And it's always a triangle that goes up. And whoever's at the top is the most powerful, the most dedicated, or wields all the power. But in God's world, that pyramid is upside down. The most powerful is at the bottom, lifting everyone else up. Look at how the structure of the church is. Those who are strong uphold the weak, encourage one another, look at one another as better than yourself. If you look at all of those examples, it's exactly just the opposite. The leaders are the first servants. The leaders are the first to uphold others. The leaders are the first to do what is right. And Joshua realized that. As for me, that's where it starts. You know, there's a lot of things that can frustrate us at home and in the church, but you can't change a single thing. All you can change is you. Now, we say that, but we need to reflect that in our speech, in our attitudes, and how we approach these situations. We have to be the first to work on us. You know, people didn't have any problem following Jesus because when he led lovingly. He led faithfully, and he led mercifully. Secondly, Joshua says, "For me and my house." Now, this is interesting. I've learned this early on in life. I thought because I was the head of my house, I could speak for my wife. But she very quickly reminded me that I could not. Now, she was lovingly and didn't do it in public, but when I got home, I got the riot act. "You're not going to speak for me." Okay, well, maybe we need to talk about this before I volunteer us, right? Yeah, that was the moral of that story. We work together. Amen? We work together. And in order to work together, we have to communicate. We have to pray. We have to seek the Lord together. And that calls for humility. That calls for a time of confession. It calls for a time of, we're going to do things God's way. Do you see what I'm saying? We all have someone that we submit to. Husbands, they submit to Christ. They're under Christ. They're under his leadership. The wives are under the leadership of the husband. Children are under the leadership of their parents. It's amazing how effective that is when we follow God's plan. Thirdly, he said, "We will serve the Lord." Now, this tells me he went and he talked with his wife, right? Maybe not asking permission, but getting her on board. Amen? But let's be honest. We don't bull our way through things. We don't bull our way through. It's ineffective. It's not biblical. But we seek to make a decision. We make a decision personally today. We make a decision as a family today. Joshua 24, verse 21 and 24. Joshua has backed the people in a corner and said, "Choose you this day." You know, sometimes when I give an invitation, I give you the thoughts for the day, and then you decide what to do with this. But I'm not going to let you do that today. God's challenged you. Choose you this day. Some of you are making plans for the future. Some of you are making plans for today. Maybe some of you are just struggling to keep it all together. I don't know where you are, God does. But I'm asking you to listen to God's word, listen to his warning, listen to his promises. Amen? I'm not trying to scare you in anything. I'm trying to lead you to a place that God will bless you in ways that you never knew was possible if you just follow him. Don't listen to the nonsense that's out there. Everybody's an expert on YouTube now. It's nonsense. People don't even have families, don't even have kids, want to tell you how to raise your kids. That's ridiculous. Listen to the God that is eternal and has all eternal wisdom. And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." Are you willing to do that? Joshua challenges people, "Separate yourself." I skip verse 23 there. He says, "Therefore," he said, "put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." Many times we just think it's an idol. But folks, sometimes it's an error in thinking. Maybe it's just a rebellious heart that I want to do this my way. Lord, you don't understand the pain that I'm going through. I want to do it my way. I think this will be better. I think this will work out the way that we want. And literally walk away from eternal blessings and healing to your life and to your family. What is your decision today? The altar's open. If you feel a need to come and pray and maybe just make things right here and right now, I'm going to ask you to kind of bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Let's let the Lord speak to us. On this day, the people said, "No, we're not going to follow those gods. We're going to put them away. The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." I've shared a lot of scripture with you today. You've heard from the Lord today. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. I believe he's speaking to your heart. What is a decision that you need to make today? What is that next step that will draw you back into the path of following his will and his way for your life? So as we pray now, this will be our dismissal prayer, and we'll leave from this place. I pray that the Lord has convicted you and that you've responded positively to his will today. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for your word. How challenging the message is that you have sent through the example and through the mouth of Joshua, the life that he lived, the demonstration of your power and your promises and your word. And Lord, we know that there are many things that are simply foundational within the Christian life, that we should follow your word and obey your word, that your word is the standard by which we will be judged by, but more than that, it is a standard by which we will receive blessing and healing and life. Lord, help us not to be divided in our loyalties, not to be divided in our decision. Help us to have a singular vision upon what your will is for our lives. Maybe we've just been running from it for so long, we don't even know what that is. So Lord, I pray for those that are willing to return to you, to give them clarity and understanding. Give them clarity of how to return, how to be restored, how to turn things around once again. I pray for our younger generations that they're receiving so many messages that are conflicting with your word. Every one of those arguments will die one day. They will be covered up with dirt, never to be heard from again. And your word will continue for all eternity. Lord, I pray that that reality sinks into our hearts and to our souls, that we'll never escape your will and your way. But yet we can join, we can surrender to, we can be blessed, we can be enriched, we can rejoice in the promises of your word. Lord, I want our people, I want your children to live a life of rejoicing. And Jesus has made that possible. Lord, we all come from a mess. We're all struggling with a mess. But I know Jesus can straighten it out. I know Jesus can bring healing. And so, Lord, may we allow him to do any and all that he so chooses, starting with me. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us life. Now, Lord, give us a backbone to stand true and to stand strong, that we also may be known as a Joshua of our day that was willing to stand faithfully, and then our family will follow. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.